Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
It's a cold start. Temperatures are in the 30s as you step out the door, but there is a little bit of a wind chill, so I'll show you what it will feel like as you walk out.
Preparations are underway for the first four games of the NCAA tournament. This is in Ohio, Dayton, Ohio, and tonight we will find out which team UNC will face in Thursday's first round game. 8 a.m. right now on your Tuesday morning. Yeah, that first four gets underway here. First day of spring for us. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. First day of spring, but it doesn't officially start until later.
Yeah, way later.
Way later. Way you tonight. Might even be sleeping when spring comes around. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner has her forecast for today. Elizabeth, it's chilly out there.
Yeah, we might as well just call tomorrow the first day of spring because we'll be back into the 70s and it's going to feel really nice. But this morning we are treated to very winter-like conditions. A lot of sunshine here over North Hills, but it's 36 degrees. Our wind is northwest at 7 miles per hour, which isn't a lot. But on top of that, we'll see some gusty conditions making it feel pretty chilly. And just a little bit of wind makes it feel even colder than it really is. So the wind chill is 30 right now in Raleigh. The wind chill is in the white box on the right. It feels like 28 in Southern Pines and 31 in Fayetteville, 33 Goldsboro, upper 20s South Hill and Roxboro. So it's a cold start as you're walking out the door here at 8 a.m. And a lot colder than yesterday. Our 24-hour temperature change 15 to 20, almost 25 degrees colder in most places, and blustery through the afternoon with some gusts up to 15 to 20 miles per hour. Check the actual temperature. Of course, we're in the 30s this morning. We'll climb into the upper 50s this afternoon with mostly sunny skies. It'll be a little bit on the breezy side, and that's a little cooler than what we saw yesterday. Nice warm-up for it tomorrow. And then at the end of the week, we'll end up with some showers, and I'll show you the timeline for that coming up. Brian?
Here at 8:02, we are watching a few crashes causing some delays this morning. First of all, in downtown Raleigh, a crash reported on Dawson Street at Morgan Street. We are seeing some delays through that intersection. Apparently, that is a crash with injury, so it may be a little while before it's cleared. I think we're seeing some better news on the north side of Holly Springs with a crash on the 55 bypass westbound or northbound heading away from Holly Springs up toward Apex. That crash is at Old Smithfield Road near that 540 interchange. You can see the yellow showing up there close to the crash site, and that tends to be an indicator that they've started to clear the crash and traffic is easing in that general area, but we're still seeing some pretty heavy delays heading away from Holly Springs Road up toward 540. Also watching some backups in Durham on both sides of 885 this morning, especially between the I-40 and 147 interchanges, about a 6 to 8 minute delay on either side. Looks like that northbound side is the most congested right now. Look out for some heavy delays coming in from Wake Forest on southbound Capitol Boulevard as well. And there's a report of a crash on 40 westbound right around the Clayton bypass. Speaking of Clayton, an important heads up for later this morning, a major intersection is going to be closed because of some railroad work coming up in about 15 minutes. I'll go into further details about exactly what you need to know.
Thanks, Brian. New this morning, WRAL has learned students at St. Augustine's University have 2 weeks to move out. The school has plans to shift to remote learning as it deals with a financial crisis. WRAL's Kelsey Coffey joins us live outside St. Aug's campus this morning. Alumni organizations, Kelsey, they are coming together now and calling for the Board of Trustees there to step down.
Jeff, we just got that new information about those alumni organizations and support groups for the university that are calling for a resignation for the entire Board of Trustee staff. So there won't be any students that are living here on campus in just 2 weeks. A student tells us that they received a notice that classes will be virtual starting in April, and all students must be moved out by April 3rd. This move comes after the school lost its accreditation appeal. The university is also facing financial problems. Last month, WRAL reported the IRS filed a $7.9 million lien on the school. That was for unpaid taxes dating back to 2020. University employees say they weren't being paid on time over the past few months. This morning, we're asking about what this transition to remote learning means for the future of the university. St. Aug's interim president Marcus Burgess released a statement last month. That, of course, was before this notice about the transition to virtual learning. He says that the school will keep its accreditation and they'll keep their doors open. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News, live in Raleigh.
Durham police are investigating two different shots fired scenes on Guess Road. This is video from the WRAL breaking news tracker of the two different areas blocked off for the investigation yesterday evening. The first at a truck rental center where a bullet actually went through the front door. Then another in the backyard of a home on Guess Road near Berkeley Street. There's no word yet on whether anyone was hurt.
WRAL is pushing for answers as the city of Raleigh is now facing a $25 million lawsuit over the death of Darrell Williams. Civil rights attorney Ben Crump joined Williams' family in announcing this lawsuit against the city, the police department, the chief, and the officers involved in Williams' death. Raleigh police previously released body cam video from the January 2023 incident. Now, the lawsuit claims Williams was shocked by a taser six times, twice as many as what Raleigh Police Department has reported. Williams shouted to officers as they were using the taser that he had a heart problem. He died an hour later. Crump says the lawsuit seeks justice for Williams' family and accountability for police.
He was no threat to the Raleigh police officers that night who chased him after they racially profiled him.
Williams' autopsy lists the use of a taser as a factor in his death, along with cocaine intoxication and physical exertion. The officers who were involved were not charged after the Wake County DA reviewed this case.
Happening today, a plan from Wake County Schools to educate families about safe gun storage is up for approval. The school board will vote on beginning a public awareness campaign on proper gun storage. That would include sending information home with students and a partnership with local law enforcement. Sheriff Willie Rowe and other local law enforcement officials plan to attend the meeting and get started at 5:30 this afternoon.
Thousands of Wake County Schools employees may soon be getting paid twice as often. The school board will vote tonight on whether 6,300 hourly workers should be paid twice a month instead of monthly. A recent survey of qualifying employees found nearly two-thirds would prefer to be paid biweekly. The school system says if the change is approved, it could happen sometime in 2025. The vote will happen during tonight's board meeting, which starts at 5:30.
Duke Energy is planning to build a new substation in Moore County, reducing the risk for a widespread outage like what happened there 15 months ago. The plan comes after an attack on two substations in December of 2022 that knocked out power to thousands for 5 days. The newly planned substations would be built on US 15501 near Carthage. Duke Energy says it'll add additional energy capacity and the ability to reroute power in the event of an outage. If everything is approved, Duke Energy says it hopes to have the substation open by early 2026.
Here are the preparations this morning in Dayton, Ohio, for the start of the NCAA men's basketball tournament. Take a look at the court. It is in place now. First four in the end zones there, in the end boards there, past the baseline. The first four games will begin tonight. First games of the tournament, Wagner and Howard. That's important. It's followed by Virginia and Colorado State. Now, the winner of that Wagner-Howard game will play UNC on Thursday afternoon.
NC State fans looking to celebrate the team's first ACC title since 1987 with new gear will likely get their chance today. The Red and White Shop in Raleigh told WRL yesterday they're still waiting to get all of its specific ACC champions NC State merch. They said simply the Wolfpack wasn't expected to win, so it's taking a little bit.
They're coming, folks. They're available online. It's just that the production had to shift. You know, a lot of that capacity was obviously geared towards Carolina winning the tournament. We pulled it off, and so the screen printers had to shift, and we're getting them in. They're available online.
Yeah, they're going to sell out soon, I think. The Red and White Shop says when they open this morning at 10 a.m., you should be able to shop for that new gear. They were expecting a truck to come in last night. And we are just days away from NC State, UNC, and Duke playing their first round NCAA tournament games. You can track the games with live score updates, times, and TV information on the interactive bracket on WREL.com. Just search bracket.
9 minutes after 8 on your Tuesday morning, students preparing for college could spend a lot of money along the way. And coming up, why some families feel more confident about their career path with college prep services.
Plus, there's a new push to shorten the work week. Just ahead, some of the pros and cons of the new bill lawmakers introduced to make it a reality.
Wouldn't that be something? You know, wouldn't it be nice? Maybe we could just like eliminate one of the days off the 7-day forecast too. Maybe that would be today. It is chilly out there. Or, you know, maybe we would do something about the weather over the weekend. It does look wet for part of the weekend, but not the whole thing. I'll show you coming up.
Welcome back. Time now 8:13 on your Tuesday morning. This is a live look over beautiful North Hills. You're watching WREL News, available on YouTube TV and the WREL app on your TV or streaming device. You'll notice it's pretty chilly out there this morning, Elizabeth. Even getting out of bed this morning, I was like, yep, this is a chillier day. You need the jacket this morning.
You know, one nice thing about March is, you know, it's not going to last too long, and we do have a much warmer day in our forecast tomorrow. But the weekend is looking interesting, and we're going to focus on that over the next couple of minutes. But it is a pretty start this morning. Lots of sunshine in Goldsboro and Apex, Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant, and in Fayetteville there at our newsroom. The next system arrives on Friday. We've been talking about it. We started talking about it yesterday. We talked about it over the weekend a little bit. This is a coastal low, and it's going to move up the coast. And the big question is, how quickly will it move up the coast? Yesterday, the computer models were really at odds, and they're starting to come into better agreement. We'll get an even better look tomorrow as we get our first look at the high-resolution models in terms of timing out when that low moves on up to the north and east. So looking at the potential, let's take a look here at what's happening. We do have a northwesterly flow right now, keeping things cool. This high pressure system builds in and keeps us dry all the way up until Friday, but it reverses our wind direction, so we're a little bit warmer for tomorrow. Taking a look at our developing low, first thing in the morning on Friday, we're dry. It doesn't look like the rain starts to approach us until around the time of the evening commute, and then becomes heavy overnight. There's a small chance that we could see a few rumbles of thunder, but right now, there are not a lot of indications that this would be severe weather, just a good steady to heavy rain. Early Saturday morning, 6 a.m., lots of rain, still some rain through mid-morning. But once we get closer to lunchtime, that rain starts to pull out. Notice it still looks a little green there at 5 o'clock. But again, in the next day or so, we'll have a better look at just how fast that starts to move out. But for now, I would say you could probably salvage the second half of the day on Saturday. How much rainfall? Well, it'll definitely be heavier closer to the coast because that's where the low will be. So our eastern counties, maybe an inch to an inch and a half, wouldn't be out of the question to see up to 2 inches. And then in our western counties, maybe half an inch to three quarters of an inch, with around an inch to an inch and a half in the triangle. So late in the day on Friday, the rain rolls in. It'll be heavy, 100% chance overnight on Friday, and then beginning to taper off around lunchtime, potentially on Saturday. Checking the temperatures to go along with it. Of course, today's chilly at 58 degrees. We don't have any more overnight lows in the 30s until we get into Sunday and Monday morning, and then it's upper 30s. Probably we won't have a lot of freezing temperatures then. A lovely day tomorrow at 72, and then 63 Thursday, not looking bad. Sunday looks nice and bright to wrap up the weekend, but it does look cool with a high of just 59, Brian.
8:15, almost 8:16 right now, and we have that crash in downtown Raleigh. I was just looking at some sensor data on Dawson Street near Morgan Street. I'm not seeing big delays, but still you want to look out for some police activity and maybe an EMS response also with that crash, reportedly with injuries in downtown Raleigh. Some good news in Holly Springs. It looks like that crash on the 55 bypass at Old Smithfield Road near the 540 interchange has cleared in the past few minutes, but we're still seeing some lingering backups on that ride along the 55 bypass from Holly Springs Road up toward 540. So you might consider using Main Street as an alternate route here for the next few minutes. Slowdowns, of course, on US 1 northbound right around 55 in Apex. They clear up by the time you get to 1010 Road. Also still seeing some backups in both directions of 885 in Durham, but otherwise we're not hearing about any crashes or other big problems in Durham. A heads up about some big problems coming to Clayton later today. The railroad company is going to have to close that major intersection at 42 East and 70 Business out by the Sheets starting at 11:30 this morning to do some work on the railroad out there. And it looks like they're going to keep that closed for about 8 hours. That closure likely is going to last into the evening commute. The town of Clayton, they heard about this only late yesterday afternoon. They're trying to get detours in place there, so expect that today. But better yet, if you're commute takes you through that side of Clayton, think about alternate routes that work for your commute and have those ready to go later this afternoon through the evening.
Thanks, Brian. The U.S. Supreme Court has blocked Texas from enforcing a law that lets state officials arrest people they believe are illegal immigrants. The Biden administration is challenging the block. The law was originally set to go into effect March 10th. It is now blocked indefinitely, so the justices have some time to decide what steps to take. Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed the now-blocked bill into law in December. Some immigration advocates were concerned about the potential for racial profiling.
Some of former President Trump's most well-known properties may be in jeopardy, as his attorneys say they cannot secure a $464 million bond due next week in his civil fraud case. Trump was held liable last month for fraudulently overstating the value of his assets. His attorneys say the nearly half a billion dollar bond that he faces is a practical impossibility. That means Attorney General Letitia James may be able to seize and sell off his assets, including his Trump Tower penthouse.
A university in Alabama is offering counseling services to students after a shooting on campus. A campus police officer at Alabama A&M University says he heard gunshots while conducting a check of a residence hall Monday afternoon. He responded and ended up exchanging gunshots with a person in a stairwell. One person was hurt and taken to the hospital. The shooting happened on the first day back for students from spring break.
Hyundai and Kia are making improvements to their car safety. The automakers recently announced that they'll install new protections to prevent stolen cars. The change comes as both companies have been targets of thefts related to a TikTok trend. Hyundai says that they'll provide a software update for about 4 million vehicle models between 2011 and 2022. Mobile software installation clinics will also be offered in more than a dozen major cities in the U.S.
Boeing's recent production issues could raise prices for people. Recent data reveals the manufacturer is behind on nearly 4,800 orders for its 737 MAX aircraft. It comes as the plane's model's door panel blew off an Alaska Airlines flight in January. Some analysts say airlines will not be able to add new flights this year because of the delays. Others expect rising demand will lead to an increase in costs regardless of the backups.
Well, there's a push to shorten the standard U.S. work week from 40 to 32 hours. A bill was recently proposed in the Senate aiming to make that a reality.
Yeah, the U.K. even tested the idea and found it to be highly successful. But some critics worry that a four-day work week could hurt businesses. And Jen Sullivan looks at the pros and cons.
How does a four-day work week sound? Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders wants to make that a reality, proposing a bill that would cut the work week down to 32 hours without reduced pay.
The sad reality is Americans now work more hours than the people of any other wealthy nation.
In many European countries, employees have shorter work weeks. France has a federally mandated 35-hour work week. Denmark has a 37-hour work week. Belgium has adopted a four-day work week. And the UK recently tested the idea. 61 companies did a trial run of the four-day work week between June and December of 2022. The director of the four-day week campaign talked about the results last fall.
It was overwhelmingly successful.
Nearly 90% of the businesses that participated in the pilot were still operating with the four-day work week 1 year later. 31 of those companies have made the change permanent.
When workers have that four-day week, 32 hours, no loss of pay, they come back into the workplace working much more effectively, efficiently, they're better rested, also more creative.
The program also found revenue remained the same during the trial, and in some cases even ticked up slightly. Critics, though, worry it could hurt employers and employees in the future.
They would ship those jobs overseas, or they would automate to replace those workers for whom they have an increased expense, or they would dramatically increase prices to make the stay afloat.
Some unions support the bill, but it's unlikely to pass in the Senate.
That was Jen Sullivan reporting. The 40-hour work week was established in 1940, which is another reason why Senator Sanders says it's time for some change.
Applying to college these days can be daunting and in some cases overwhelming, but there's a growing industry that's helping them out. That's why many families, many of whom budget for it, are turning to these college admissions consulting firms. Some can cost on average anywhere from $100 to $200 an hour. That's the low end. NBC News correspondent Morgan Radford sat down with one consultant, Christopher Rim, who charges six figures for his services.
Parents are paying you $120,000 a year to work with their child.
Yes.
So to be clear, when you charge this fee, you're not guaranteeing that the student gets into Harvard.
Correct. What we're doing is we're optimizing the student's chances for success.
For that kind of money with no guarantees, these consulting sessions can include how to pay for college, what key points should be emphasized in a college essay, and what scholarships are available.
As millions of people fill out their NCAA tournament brackets, some are turning to artificial intelligence for it. Analysts say the human element to the sport means it can be difficult for computers to make an accurate prediction. Coders are looking at what stats matter the most when picking a team to win it all. And they're looking at free throw percentages, home and away records, second half point totals, things like that. As developers refine their models, bracket experts say there will never be a method that includes every factor that could play out on the court. That's why they call it March Madness. Wake County Board of Education will meet with law enforcement tonight to talk about parents storing their guns. Coming up, the resolution on the table, hoping to protect kids.
First Lady will be in Durham tomorrow. What we know about Jill Biden's upcoming visit to the Bull City.
Get into your car, tuned to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning and happy Tuesday. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. We're in for a really pretty day. It's chilly, though. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner showing us what it feels like around town.
Still feeling like the 30s out there. Durham at 36, Raleigh at 36, 37 in Fayetteville. There's just a little bit of a wind, but it's been enough this morning to make it feel closer to freezing. But it is beautiful, isn't it? Sunshine on all those cameras all across the viewing area. Heading out the door, obviously, you're going to need a coat. You'll probably need it even during the afternoon. Temperatures will still be in the upper 50s. For highs this afternoon, even though we'll see a lot of sunshine, it'll be a bit breezy on and off. We're looking at a much warmer day tomorrow, and then part of the weekend looks wet, Brian.
It is 8:27 right now, Elizabeth, and we're still watching some delays in Holly Springs after an earlier crash on the 55 bypass westbound at Old Smithfield Road, which is not too far from 540. They have cleared the crash apparently, but we're still seeing some lingering backups from Holly Springs Road. Consider Main Street as your alternate route. Your major approaches into Durham are looking okay. A little bit of a backup in both directions of I-40. About a 5-minute delay on either side. In Clayton later today, the railroad is closing the big intersection out at 42 East and 70 Business for some railroad works. That closure starts at 11:30 this morning and runs through the evening commute. So think about what alternate routes will work best for you.
Thanks, Brian. WREL has learned that students at St. Augustine's University have 2 weeks to move out. The school also has plans to shift to remote learning on April 1st as it deals with a financial crisis. Last month, St. Aug's interim president said the school will remain open and keep their accreditation. And today, Raleigh City Council will discuss ending fare-free service on Go Raleigh buses. Fares have been suspended since March of 2020. City leaders could choose to begin charging fares again in July. We'll have more news, weather, and traffic over on Fox 50.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Even here at 8:30, our temperatures are in the 30s across the viewing area. There's a bit of a wind chill factor, too, so I'll show you what it will feel like as you step out the door.
And students at St. Aug's have 2 weeks to move out as the university shifts to remote learning amid a financial crisis. New this morning, what we're learning about the push from alumni organizations as they call to have the Board of Trustees step down.
Today, Wake County school leaders could pass a resolution to help protect students from gaining access to firearms. Just ahead, how law enforcement agencies are also participating in this conversation, weighing in.
Thank you for staying with us on your Tuesday morning. Oh my goodness, it is chilly out there. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
I'm Jeff Hogan. Yeah, great to have you along here. Thanks for choosing us. And, the sunshine looks great.
It's beautiful. That,
but it is a cold start to our Tuesday. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRS Severe Weather Center. And this is March, a normal March, right?
It is. In March, we tend to see a lot of ups and downs with our temperatures, and that's certainly what we're seeing now, heading on the downside. But tomorrow will be different. We'll be back into the 70s. We'll take a live look at North Hills. Nothing but sunshine, 36 degrees. We do have a northwesterly wind right now at 7 and some gusty winds, making it feel pretty cold out there. It feels like 31 in Fayetteville and 28 in Southern Pines. The wind chill is on the right, and the actual temperature is in the blue box on the left. It feels like 30 in Durham and Raleigh, 29 Roxboro and South Hill. Feels like 33 in Goldsboro and 30 in Rocky Mount. So It is, it's cold out there. Our 24-hour temperature change anywhere from around 15 to 20 degrees colder than it was this time yesterday. Unlike yesterday, it will be a bit breezy this afternoon with some gusts up to 18 to 20 miles per hour, especially as we get through the afternoon. Hour by hour, we only take it into the upper 50s. Yesterday, our high was 63, so just a touch cooler today, but with plenty of sunshine. I'll show you why temperatures will bump up to 70s tomorrow, but then cool off by the weekend. Coming up, Brian.
8:32 right now, Elizabeth, some new details about that crash in downtown Raleigh at Dawson Street at Morgan Street. Raleigh 911 now says that that crash involved a pedestrian. Still working to get some more details about it. The sensors are not looking that bad right now. I'm not seeing big delays as you head through there, but look out for some remaining police activity out at that scene. Also still seeing some lingering delays on the westbound side of the 55 bypass heading away from Holly Springs Road up toward the 540 interchange. We had an earlier crash at Old Smithfield Road that led to those big delays. Until that resolves itself, consider using Main Street as an alternate route trying to get from Holly Springs up toward Apex. Taking a look at some sun glare delays this morning on the south side of Durham. This is I-40 out at 55 and all of that eastbound traffic heading out of the Chapel Hill area back toward 885, running into just a little bit of a delay, about a 4-minute backup overall. And then as you head from 540 back toward Wade Avenue through Cary, some of those usual sun glare delays building now, about a 2-minute slowdown as you head between Aviation Parkway and Harrison Avenue especially.
All right. Thanks, Brian. New this morning, students at St. Augustine's University are making plans to move out earlier than expected. WREL has learned university plans to move to remote learning as they try to work through their financial crisis. Students now have 2 weeks to move out. As WREL's Kelsey Coffey explains, this is just the latest challenge students and staff there are facing.
St. Augustine's won't have any students living here on campus in just a couple of weeks. A student tells us they received a notice that classes will be virtual starting in April, and all students must be moved out by April 3rd. This move comes after the school lost its accreditation appeal. The university is also facing financial problems. Last month, WREL reported the IRS filed a $7.9 million lien on the school. That was for unpaid taxes dating all the way back to 2020. University employees say they weren't being paid on time over the last few months. Now we're asking about what this transition to remote learning means for the future of the university. St. Aug's interim president Marcus Burgess released a statement last month. That statement was, of course, released before this notice about virtual learning. He says that the school will keep its accreditation and their doors will remain open. Kelsey Coffey, WREL News in Raleigh.
And with all that in mind happening now in the WREL Live Center, we obtained a resolution that was put out today by a group of alumni associations and supporters of the St. Augustine's University. It's a resolution under the Save ASU. These organizations are calling for the resignation of the entire Board of Trustees. They're citing an audit dating back to 2021 in which the board's overall governance and oversight of the university was severely absent. The resolution also states that major concerns have been expressed by members of the alumni associations for the last 5 years. Now, these organizations are making the point that they love their university, but this resolution is a concerted effort to make sure that changes are made in order to keep that university viable for the future.
And Ken, there's another element in play here, too. The Wake County Schools leaders are examining their partnership with St. Aug's University. We're expecting an update from the school board today on the district's contract with St. Aug. And that contract involves classes for the Wake Young Women's and Men's Leadership Academies. In addition to recently losing its accreditation appeal, St. Aug is also facing those dire financial issues. And board members will be talking about the future of those programs during tonight's board meeting at 5:30. Also at that meeting tonight, the school board will vote on starting an awareness program on proper gun storage. That would include sending information home with kids to share with their families. WRL's Laura Levine shares law enforcement leaders now say that this is an important step toward keeping kids safe at school.
The CDC says 156 children and teens die from gunfire each year, most in their own homes. Oftentimes, it's the result of a child gaining access to a family member's firearm. So Sheriff Willie Rowe here, along with other law enforcement agencies, will be joining in on this discussion with Wake County school leaders, really emphasizing the importance of locking the firearms up. The Wake County Board of Education has drafted a resolution focused on safe gun storage, and today
they could vote to adopt that resolution. The main action item on the draft is a plan that would provide families with information and resources about the importance of secure gun storage several times a school year and the legal consequences for not doing so. That could be in newsletters or by other methods. This comes as the State Department of Public Safety launched a campaign for safe gun storage called NC Safe. In the past year, at least three adults have been charged after a student brought a gun into a Wake County school. Today, we're going to hear from school leaders again, as well as other law enforcement agencies across the triangle, really supporting this resolution. The meeting begins at 5:30. Laura Levine, WRL News in Raleigh.
The WRL documentary Unsafe takes a look at the impact of gun violence on young people. WRL documentary reporter Kristen Severance talks with families whose lives were changed forever because of unsecured guns. You can watch Unsafe right now on WRLDoc.com.
Durham police are investigating two different shots fired scenes on Getz Road. This is video from the WRL breaking news tracker of two different areas blocked off for that investigation yesterday. The first at a truck rental center where a bullet went through the front door. Another in the backyard of a home on Getz Road near Berkeley Street. No word yet on whether anybody was hurt.
A 19-year-old man is in custody charged with several counts of raping a child. Wake County Sheriff's deputies arrested Wilmer Cohock Moran. He is in the Wake County Detention Center and is being held without bond. Deputies have not said if he knew the child.
Free rides on Go Raleigh buses may come to an end later this year. Today, Raleigh City Council will discuss whether fare free service should be ended. Fares have been suspended on Go Raleigh buses since March of 2020. The transit service has been covering the cost with federal COVID recovery money. City leaders could choose to begin charging fares again in July. They'll talk about it during a work session today that starts at 11:30.
Today, a North Carolina congressman is introducing a bill that would eliminate federal funding to medical schools that have diversity, equity, and inclusion mandates. Congressman Greg Murphy will hold a news conference in D.C. today in support of what's called the Educate Act. It's an op-ed published yesterday in the Wall Street Journal. Murphy says DEI mandates, quote, train future physicians in political activism. The Association of American Medical Colleges says such mandates help create a diverse and culturally prepared workforce.
First Lady Jill Biden will be in Durham tomorrow. She'll be in the area to highlight the Biden administration's investments in women's health research. We've also learned new details about President Biden and Vice President Harris's visit to the Triangle next week. They'll attend a private fundraiser in Raleigh where the lowest donation to attend right now is $3,300.
We have this live look right now out at RDU International Airport. Today, there'll be a full-scale simulated aircraft disaster exercise that'll be taking place. The FAA requires airports to complete these exercises every 3 years. So you may notice some drills out there at the airport, including a fire exercise, but don't be alarmed. This is a required simulated thing, and everything will be back to normal at the airport tomorrow. Raleigh is looking to rebuild Moore Square, and it is looking for a restaurant owner to help. The city is looking for a business to take over the vacant cafe in Moore Square. It's an area that has recently struggled with crime, and the city will help with some of the costs and breaks on rent until repairs are done. The official advertisement should be posted in mid-April.
Big lottery jackpots are up for grabs again tonight and tomorrow. No one claimed the big prize during last night's Powerball drawing, so jackpot, it climbs again. It now sits at $687 million for Wednesday night's drawing. The Mega Millions $875 million jackpot is also up for grabs tonight. You can watch that drawing tonight at 11 o'clock on WREL.
There is no place like home for this iconic pair of shoes.
It's like welcoming back a new friend that I haven't seen in years.
Oh, yes, the reunion between the rightful owner and Judy Garland's iconic slippers, 19 years in the making.
Plus, a local YouTube star has a new deal with Amazon Prime. Just ahead, the plans Mr. Beast has to beat Netflix's record for competition game shows.
Bit of chilly start this morning. Here's a live look in Southern Pines, Longleaf Golf and Family Club right now. And after the break, Elizabeth Gardner will tell us when we might see some spring temperatures for real. 8:45 is the time right now on your Tuesday morning. We're going to take you from Fayetteville and blue skies and beautiful, you know, we have sports venues all over the place here. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRS Severe Weather Center. Golf course behind you. How about that?
I look at that. Look, it's not cold in Pinehurst. I mean, it looks cold everywhere else, but obviously all those folks out there on the golf course getting a little putting in this morning. And the Triangle, it's 36 degrees, and it feels like closer to freezing. Our dew point's 17, and so we have a very dry air mass in place. It's 34 in Roxburgh, 36 Durham, 37 South Hills. So we're starting to see the temperatures creep up. We were down at freezing near the Virginia line just about an hour ago. It's 35 in Siler City, 36 in Wilson, 35 in Sanford, 33 Southern Pines, 37 Fayetteville. So it looks like we've just started to see our temperatures climbing above freezing across the area. And of course, our freeze warning will be expiring here momentarily. Our wind speeds are anywhere from 5 to almost 10 miles per hour. So it does feel colder than it really is as you step out the door this morning. But winds are going to be gusting this afternoon, say 15 to 20 miles per hour. And because of the dry conditions and the gusty winds, we do have high fire danger today. So you're encouraged not to do any outdoor burning today. We take a look at temperatures, 58 in Raleigh, 56 in Durham, and 59 in Fayetteville for today. So, you know, it's going to be a cool afternoon, even with all that sunshine. And some cool mornings ahead. Not as cold as this morning. 41 is our normal low, and we'll see low 40s Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. A little warmer Saturday, but not that much, looking at 48 degrees, and we'll have the potential for some showers. Weather Watcher photo from Amanda Hensley from Apex of her lilies in the yard. So pretty. So many things are blooming, and it's so gorgeous. We would love to see what's happening in your backyard or your neighborhood. Go to WRL.com, search Weather Watchers, and send us a photo. We'll put it on TV. Our pollen, of course, is high right now. It had been high, but the pine pollen just started in most places last weekend. I was talking to my mother-in-law, and she said that it's like pollen soup down in Fayetteville right now. So it's not going to get better anytime soon, probably at least 3 to maybe 4 weeks. Grasses are medium right now, too. Our temperature outlook for our part of the country is above normal as we wrap up March, but we're definitely looking at some cool temperatures through the weekend. Checking our 7-day forecast, 58 today, first day of spring. Tomorrow should be the first day of spring at 72. It'll be the nicest day of the week to get outside. Thursday, though, not bad, 63. And then late Friday, rain rolls in, and right now it looks like we could have showers through at least the first half of Saturday.
And happening on the WRA Live Center, Wall Street is headed for a flat opening today. Let's take a look at the big board this morning. You can see Dow futures off by more than 30 points. Similarly, the S&P 500 NASDAQ futures also in negative territory this morning. Investors are turning their attention to the start of the Federal Reserve's two-day meeting. The Fed isn't expected to lower interest rates today, but Fed Chair Jerome Powell could signal when that could happen. Of course, we'll have the opening numbers from Wall Street in our next hour of news right here on Fox 50.
All right. Thanks, Ken. Google opens its doors to Durham public school students for an inside look at the tech world. More than a dozen middle school students were at the Google offices in downtown Durham to learn coding from the ground up. Students learned the basics, opened up their computers, and they worked with volunteers to build those computers from scratch. Those students also got an exciting surprise. They were able to take all of the devices they worked on home with them. How cool is that? Well, LinkedIn may be adding gaming to its resume. Reports say that the online networking site is developing puzzle-like games to add to its platform. The company believes that adding the games will help foster deeper connections and conversations among users. Details of the rollout are not clear, but the potential addition could reshape engagement.
There is no place like home for a legendary pair of ruby red slippers. The iconic shoes worn by Judy Garland in The Wizard of Oz were finally returned to their rightful owner. Michael Shaw owned the $3.5 million props for 35 years before he loaned them to the Judy Garland Museum in Michigan in 2005. Then they were stolen. They were recovered in an FBI sting operation in 2018. And on Monday, Shaw was reunited with the shoes for the first time in 19 years.
They're in very good shape. How do I feel? It's like welcoming back an old friend that I haven't seen in years.
Two men were convicted of stealing those shoes earlier this year. The shoes are going on a worldwide tour now before being auctioned off later this year. The Judy Garland Museum says they're working hard to purchase the shoes so they're in a place that honors Garland's legacy.
Greenville, North Carolina native and YouTube star Mr. Beast is launching a new reality competition show on Prime Video. It's called Beast Games. Mr. Beast says the show will feature a $5 million prize and 1,000 contestants. He says it will be the largest game show in history and will break many world records. Netflix previously claimed the record for most contestants and biggest cash prize with its Squid Game, the challenge series. 456 participants competed, and that's less than half of what we're anticipating for Beast Games.
Different beast mode there.
Yes.
Netflix is also giving a behind-the-scenes account of an infamous interview. An iconic game show is celebrating a milestone and more with Ashley Dvorkin here with all the latest in the Hollywood Nation.
Your Royal Highness.
Netflix's new royal drama, Platt's Broadway Residency, and the category is Big Honors for Jeopardy in the Hollywood Nation.
Game four of the finals will end with historic Americans.
Jeopardy celebrates a major milestone. The iconic game show's 60th birthday is March 30th, and Sony Pictures Television will honor the landmark occasion with a year-long diamond celebration, including fan experiences, a bar trivia game version of the show, limited edition merchandise, and a nationwide road tour.
His head. Air falls in cool, careless waves.
Ben Platt is heading to Broadway for a residency called Ben Platt Live at the Palace. The award-winning actor-singer will perform 18 shows at the theater starting May 28th. The concert is in celebration of his third album, Honeymind, out May 31st.
I've never been smuggled into a palace before.
Gillian Anderson and Rufus Sewell recreate an infamous interview in today's First Looks. Netflix released the official trailer to Scoop, a film inspired by a behind-the-scenes account of Prince Andrew's 2019 bombshell interview with BBC's Newsnight about his connections to Jeffrey Epstein. Anderson stars as anchor Emily Maitlis, and Sewell plays Prince Andrew. Netflix also dropped a new trailer to Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scar Giver. The second chapter follows Sophia Boutella's Korra, leading the rebels to battle against the armies of the Motherworld. It premieres April 19th.
I won't allow this place to die for me.
That was Ashley Dvorkin reporting there.
Richard Simmons is trying to clear up some confusion after a social media post sparked concern among his fans. Simmons made a Facebook post yesterday saying that he's dying. Thousands of followers shared their well wishes and expressed their sadness. 4 hours later, Simmons made another post clarifying that he was just trying to make a point that life is short and everyone should embrace every day that we have. But yeah, he did spark a little concern there. Some people were like, well, what's going on? What do you mean you're dying? How? So he's not. He's just, you know, just saying we should live life to the fullest.
Making a little reference there.
Yeah.
Goldsboro native Tay Lewis not dying, moving forward, taking a step in the voice. The pop country artist and his Team Reba teammate did not disappoint, performing We Don't Fight Anymore. State country, huh? Chance the Rapper said he was mesmerized by that performance. Good news is you will get to root for Tay another week. Reba McEntire chose him to move on to the knockout round.
So good. Oh, my gosh. All right, well, today, Jeff, National Laugh Day.
Every day should be National Laugh
Day. To me, it
day.
Is.
There are medical experts that say sharing how laughing can help improve your health.
Yeah, doctors with a Cleveland clinic say that laughing can help with stress relief, which can improve your immune system. It also improves blood flow by increasing oxygen. They also emphasize that laughing improves mental health. It's a great form of self-care. So we all like to laugh.
Laughter, the best medicine.
Yes, absolutely. All right, before we head to break, here are your winning lottery numbers. We'll get another check on weather and traffic next.